All right, are we good?
Yes.
What's up? This is Movies on Up. Meet the men who saw the end. I'm Dave, joined by the man who sees my end every week, Mr. Ryan.
That's because I will undoubtedly be responsible for it.
We are Movies on Up. He is Ryan. I am Dave. Our tagline for this week, meet the men who saw the end. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or the Twitter, @moviesonup. If you are correct and we pick you, you will win a magnificent, big, short.
Not short on prizes.
Yes, yes. Movies on Up prize package delivered directly to you. This week, Stevie Carell comes into theaters with, again, he was just in what, Boy something, Boy's Back, or not Boy Erased, maybe Boy, I don't know.
He's it's in been
a few movies this year.
Yeah, Q4 is going to be pretty big for Carell.
He had the one with Timothy Chalamet a few weeks ago. He's in Welcome to Marwen this week that I think could be a Steve Carell Oscar nom. He's in Vice, mm-hmm. I think, in another week or so.
Which I'm not sure he's in it enough to be a Steve Carell Oscar nom, but
could be, though, because that's getting
but
a
that
lot
movie,
of love.
Yeah.
That movie is getting a lot of love. I know we've talked about Steve Carell a lot. There's a movie that's probably high on your list, maybe one that we've talked about. We've mentioned it quite a few.
No, I left it off.
Did you?
I
did too. We just did a Keira Knightley episode a few weeks ago, I think.
And I needed that on my Keira Knightley list.
Yeah.
I don't need Seeking a Friend for the End of the World on my Steve Carell list, though it is my favorite Steve Carell movie. It's one of my favorite movies in recent memory.
Sometimes we struggle. Sometimes we'll have an actor where it's like, oh, I like that guy. And then you go through and it's like, oh, I really like three of his movies. And then you struggle to fill out the five. Or others, it's like, oh, I could maybe do a list for that guy. And then you look and it's like, oh, there's 10 movies I really like of his. With Steve Carell, it was like, how have we not done this already? Because we both like Steve Carell. We both like Steve Carell movies. I have 6 also-rans, and I have also-ran also-rans that I just left off just because. I could probably go 15 deep on Steve Carell movies that I like.
Yeah, this was one that when you pitched doing it, I was like, yep, that's fine. Because I know that I like Steve Carell. I knew it was going to be easy to do the list, and it was. It was not one that surprised me on how much I liked him or didn't like him. It was exactly what I thought it was going to be.
This is one of those lists that I like because I don't know that there's a Steve Carell movie.
That's accurate.
I mean, when he first came out, like, oh, he's the guy from The Daily Show. And
there were
the
Steve
Office.
Carell characters at first.
Yeah. Like,
that lacked self-awareness.
Like Brick and 40-Year-Old Virgin.
And like, Michael Scott.
Yeah, those are like Steve Carell characters.
Not anymore.
But he didn't fall into that hole, and he's went on to do all sorts of stuff, and he really doesn't do comedies hardly anymore. Not like you would expect. So I like seeing people with his kind of career to where they could fall safely into one path and just go there and be successful, and they avoid it. So I really, really like my list. I like my 5. If there's crossover, there's a couple I can throw in and swap it out. But if I mention that we're doing our favorite Steve Carell movies this week?
I don't know if I mentioned it explicitly, but I'm pretty sure it was heavily implied at the very least.
So anyways, to sum up, Welcome to Marwen comes out this week starring Steve Carell. Movie looks weird. Odd.
Oh, it was great.
It looks great. There's a documentary. It's based on Marwen Call, which is fascinating. Movie looks nothing like that. You know what this reminds me of? The trailer for Marwen, or not Marwen Call.
Welcome to Marwen.
Gives me vibes of Walter Mitty, the Ben Stiller movie from a few years ago.
Yeah.
That seemed to go come and go without really getting any kind of love.
But I love it.
It was one of the best movies that year, and I don't understand why it didn't get the love that it did. This looks to have that fantastical feel to where it's this guy getting through something that's using fantasy to get through it. So I'm excited for it. So we were doing our favorite Steve Carell movies this week. Ryan, your number 5 favorite Steve Carell movie.
As a little aside, you were talking about what Welcome to Marwen reminded you of. I was like, to me, that seems like a Michel Gondry movie, but it's not. I don't want to say whimsical, but very imaginative. And those kind of things, and a great example of that is Secret Life of Walter Mitty. I don't know that that's more seen than Michel Gondry movies, or less. I think they're all kind of in that realm of maybe underappreciated, but I think that that maybe fits my number five. It's not whimsical, it's not magical, but I think it's really good, and it's somehow underappreciated. It is from 2011, starring a lovely cast, all of which you're familiar with: Steve Carell, The Goz, Julianne Moore, Emma Stone. It's Crazy Stupid Love, directed by Glenn Ficarra and John Requa. Dan Fogelman wrote Crazy Stupid Love, and this guy has a career full of hits or misses. This one was a hit. We'll talk a little bit more about a Fogelman-written movie that didn't go well later this year on the Uppies, but he's responsible for the screenplays for Cars, Bolt, and Tangled, as well as some television program with Mandy Moore, I'm led to believe. But he's also the guy that's responsible for Last Vegas and The Guilt Trip. Crazy Stupid Love is an example of what Fogelman does really, really well, and that's family dramedy. Carell and Gosling are really, really good together here. It almost has a buddy comedy feel to it at points, but without being like a Will Ferrell, John C. Reilly buddy comedy. There are a few other storylines that do tie together in the end, but if it were me, I'd kind of rather spend my time with the two male leads. I think it's a cleverly written script that is executed very well by a very likable cast.
This was my number one, but I'll bump it down to my number five.
Not underappreciated by Dave.
I'll bump it down to my number five. Actually, you know what? It's not on my list at all now.
Okay.
Because I'm going to replace it.
Everybody gets a promotion.
But I do want to talk about it. I love this movie. I absolutely adore this movie. It was one of those that I went in with no expectations. And that cast could do almost anything, and I'd be for, but they're all really good, and they're playing great characters. Steve Carell, just everything going on around him with the babysitter and everything. Crazy Stupid Love is one of those that my buddy Tony and I, anytime we have ideas or we write something, there's certain movies and certain stuff we always reference. And Crazy Stupid Love, the backyard scene is something we always, like, what's the backyard moment? Because that is one of my favorite scenes in movie history, where just Everything comes together. And that's just, anytime we have ideas where it's a bunch of stories, it's like, okay, how do they all meet in the backyard? Because that scene is so great.
It's the Battle of Endor.
And it's so perfect. And I love it. And I love this movie. And I love everything about it. And this is about that time where Steve Carell's, this is when people were still expecting comedy from him. But then you realize that stuff like this is more and more what he's doing.
And there are funny parts to this. He has jokes in the movie.
But for the most part, he's more the straight man in this.
Yeah, especially the further the movie goes, the more straight he becomes, so to speak.
Yeah. So my number five, I'll bump everything else up and add, this one was
and
hard.
And add my number one, because it's only fair.
This one was hard to leave off. From 2017, starring Steve Carell and Emma Stone, along with Andrea Riseborough, Natalie Morales, Sarah Silverman, Bill Pullman. It is Battle of the Sexes. I really, really liked this movie. It was one of those that came out, and it's like, oh, Emma Stone's going to get some Oscar love for Billie Jean King. Steve Carell looks great as Bobby Riggs. It just kind of seemed like it came and went. Didn't really get a lot of buzz, but Emma Stone's really, really good. Steve Carell, this is one of those roles that it's like, oh yeah, I don't know who else could play this, because Bobby Riggs at that point, where he was just a character, he was just this chauvinist woman hater, but not really. He turned it on for the cameras, and Steve Carell brought
Andy Kaufman.
Yeah, and Steve Carell brought that because he's this really likable guy. So for him to say these demeaning and terrible things, it's hard to dislike him, even when he's being like that. And that was Bobby Riggs. Bobby Riggs was just, it was a show. It was a big show for him, and it's actually a really well put together movie and really, really good. And Emma Stone is just one of those that she can't do any wrong at this point. And it was just one of those where both lead performances, sometimes they'll be like, oh, it's worth watching just for this performance. Both of the performances of the leads in this movie are worth watching.
My number four has a few performances worth watching, and those performances are from Toni Collette, Paul Dano, Alan Arkin, Abigail Breslin, Greg Kinnear, and Steve Carell. It's Jonathan Dayton and Valerie Faris' Little Miss Sunshine from 2006. We have talked at length about the kind of movies where you have a primarily comedic actor beginning to show that they have some range. Usually it happens in these kind of smaller indie movies. We mentioned kind of. Eternal Sunshine was an example of Jim Carrey doing that. We've talked about the Will Ferrell ones, the Adam Sandler movies, and generally, I like those kind of movies. This one may be, if not the best of the bunch, certainly among the best of the bunch, and I think that's what this movie was for Carell. It's still near the beginning of The Office, which sounds strange that this is in 2006. It seems like The Office was on in 1998, but this is still when people are thinking of him as Michael Scott. He's doing stuff in movies like Bewitched and Over the Hedge, and then he shows up in this, which was absolutely an Oscar movie. Little Miss Sunshine won 2 awards. Alan Arkin won for Best Supporting Actor, and Michael Arndt won for Best Original Screenplay. Was also nominated for Best Picture, and Abigail Breslin got a nomination for Best Supporting Actress. And all the actors in this movie are just fantastic. Toni Collette and Paul Dano are also really, really good. But outside of maybe the dance at the end from Olive, the performance that I remember most from this movie was Steve Carell. This is a damaged family with some real heavy issues that they pack up into this VW. And while there's certainly some laughs in the movie, it's a dramatic role from the guy that, to this point, had been best known for Michael Scott being on The Daily Show and being a side character in Anchorman, which are all laugh-oriented roles. That was not what he was in this movie to do. He had some heavy dramatic acting to do. And in a movie where 2 other folks got nominated, he didn't look like a comedian showing up in a drama. That's kind of where the light flipped for me that, oh shit, this guy's pretty talented.
Yeah, and you see that a lot where you get the comic guy in an ensemble. Like a studio doesn't trust them to do the drama stuff and carry it. But when you mix them in with Toni Collette, Alan Arkin, Paul Dano, all that, it kind of lessens the load a little bit. And for him to not just hold his own, but like steal every scene he's in, I think of the dinner scene to where it's just, he steals it. And, you know, I don't love this movie a lot. Like, I think the performances are great, but overall, the movie didn't get me like it hit a lot of other people. But I do think Steve Carell and Paul Dano especially were both really, really good in this. My number 4 is what at the beginning of Steve Carell's movie career, I think people thought we would just get years and years of this. From 2008, directed by Peter Siegel, it is Get Smart, starring Steve Carell, Anne Hathaway, Dwayne Johnson, Alan Arkin. I watched Get Smart growing up. I loved Maxwell Smart. I watched Get Smart as a kid. My babysitter would have it on, and the shoe phone and all. I loved it. I thought it was great. So when the Get Smart remake came out, yeah, I'm on board for a big screen Get Smart with Anne Hathaway, perfectly cast. The Rock was in there, and Steve Carell. I can't picture a better Maxwell Smart than Steve Carell, and he nailed it. This movie was a lot of fun, and I wish that we'd have gotten some sequels out of it. It was goofy. It was just silly. Like, it's exactly what you expect. It's funny. It's an action comedy, but how he defeats The Rock at the end makes me laugh every time. And anytime the movie's on, I'll watch it until that point, because him kissing The Rock, I think it's one of the funniest things in a spy movie ever. And I really, really like this movie. And it's not like, oh, I like it because I like this. It was a well-done remake of the TV show because it had everything that was great about the TV show, plus modernized it. And I thought it was just a lot of fun.
And the TV show was a comedy. I mean, it's, we like the Jump Street movies a lot, where they took a dramatic TV show and made a comedy out of it, and they did it really, really well. But Get Smart was a comedic television show that, and maybe it's just the sensibilities, I liked as a kid. I was in the same boat you were. I watched it with my grandmother, but I thought that this was much funnier than the television show.
It was updated nicely.
Yeah.
It didn't try to fall with the same humor. It had the same tone, but it was updated.
It was good. That's, I guess, how good Steve Carell is. I like Get Smart. It didn't really occur to me to put on the list. Doesn't mean that I didn't like it. It's just there's a lot of other things that I could put on. But number 3 is a movie that we've already mentioned, if you were listening carefully. It is directed by Adam McKay, because of course there has to be an Adam McKay, Steve Carell movie on here. It is The Big Short from 2015, starring Christian Bale, Carell, and that handsome Ryan Gosling again. I remember we were, I mean, well into the show at this point, and I think we were both really kind of rooting for Big Short just because, as pretentious film people, it would be great to see the guy that directed Anchorman win Best Director or Best Picture for this. And I think while Little Miss Sunshine was probably the genesis of the quest for the Oscar for Steve Carell, this and a movie he did a couple years earlier probably, I think, solidified that he had the talent to eventually win one. Again, this is very much an ensemble movie, and Carell's not a giant part of it. I would think that Christian Bale and Ryan Gosling are the first two that come to mind. He's a cog in the wheel here. Those other two guys do most of the heavy lifting, but where I think The Big Short really succeeds is taking what is an uber-complicated process that we all know just a little something about and making it the main plot of a Hollywood movie. Subprime mortgages for dummies, I guess. McKay and Charles Randolph, they won an Oscar for Best Adapted Screenplay, and their efforts where they would break the fourth wall and explain this stuff to you, I think were very creative and very necessary for someone like myself to be able to understand it. I mean, having Selena Gomez just like show up and explain to you what's happening as Selena Gomez, it could have been anybody, and it was anybody a lot of different times. I thought it was great storytelling. It's one of those things that while you're watching it, oh, I totally understand how this happened. I couldn't explain it to you now. I'd have to sit down and watch it again, but I think that just shows how good this movie was at doing its job. It had a bunch of good performances too.
Another good performance, and one that did get an Oscar nomination for it, which I culled from the trailer, is my number, whatever I'm on, three probably, from 2014, directed by Bennett Miller. It's Foxcatcher, starring Steve Carell, Channing Tatum, Mark Ruffalo, which any of those three could have gotten Oscar noms in this movie. This was one of those where those three performances carried it, and all three of them were great. Steve Carell was basically in a horror movie in this. This was a documentary. It was a biopic of... It
felt a lot like a documentary.
Yeah, of John DeBont and the Schultz brothers, Mark and David. It's a fascinating story. Very creepy story. John DeBont is one of this just creepy, creepy characters. And Steve Carell transformed into him. It felt like a monster movie at times. Anytime Steve Carell was on the screen, you felt like you were watching a horror movie, and it wasn't that. And Mark Ruffalo carries it like he's the closest to a straight guy in there, and Channing Tatum showed some chops in this movie. Yeah, okay, Channing Tatum is the dumb wrestler with maybe that
it
doesn't
sound
seem
like a stretch, but
he played it so well. And I know the Foxcatcher story. I've watched documentaries, so I went into this movie. I know what's going on, and it still captivated me, and it still built up to this just ridiculous, like, why? What? Like, it still doesn't make any sense.
And you know what's going to happen.
You know what's going to happen, but when it does, you're still kind of like, no, don't. No. We don't have to do it. Like, we can change it. Steve, this is your chance to change it. And because
somehow the biopic can be different than the biography it's based on.
I really like this movie, and I feel like it came out and it got buzzed, but I feel like people didn't really like it as much as I thought they would. But it did get, I think it got a Best Picture nom. It got a Best Nom for him.
This, to me, is one of those ones that film people like, but for whatever reason, I think the general public doesn't think that it's a movie that they would like.
And I get that, because it is... Wrestling's not a popular sport. This kind of wrestling.
Yeah, right.
This kind of wrestling isn't a popular sport. This was at a point where it looked like an Oscar grab for Carell. Now, if Steve Carell does this, it's like, oh, Steve Carell is doing more Steve Carell stuff. I think this is when that transitioned to like, oh, he's really going. He's really accepting this as an art and doing everything he can. And I feel like it's such a good movie, but it is a hard story to tell. And it does a good job telling that story, but maybe that's not the most mainstream story to tell.
It's not, but I think, what was it, like a Dateline or 60 Minutes, whatever they did, and maybe they've done multiple, but I think people enjoy true crime now. You see, you know, a lot of these, whether it's a series where they're taking a look at like The Staircase. I mean, Jesus Christ. Did I need an entire season of that? No. Did I watch it?
Did I watch
it? You bet your ass.
Over 12 years. Like
that. Right. And people like that. I mean, this is another true crime story. I mean, granted, we know what happened. without question. Maybe that takes some of it away, but it's a really well-acted true crime story that, okay, yeah, the crime involves Olympic wrestlers, but big deal. To your point, I think people missed it because maybe they thought this is Olympic wrestling movie. I don't care about that. But yeah, you do. And you should take a look at it. I agree. This is a really good movie. It absolutely would have been on my list, but I knew it was going to be on yours. And I was trying to not have the same five movies on each of our lists. Although, I don't know, as we get higher, that may be more difficult. You mentioned that Steve Carell doesn't do a lot of comedies anymore, which is true. But when he does them, typically they're animated. And he keeps going back to that well because they give him a ton of money to play Gru. And I had to put one of those on there. And I picked the first one, Despicable Me from 2010, directed by Pierre Coffin and Chris Renaud. Starring Steve Carell, Jason Segel, who I forgot was in the movie, and Russell Brand. I unabashedly love the Minions, and I don't hide from that here. For me, they're kind of a throwback to the cartoon characters that I liked as a kid. Eventually, they were always going to get their own movie. But I think that Minions was the weakest of the four, because while it is really funny to laugh at Minion hilarity, Despicable Me was a lot more than that. It's a clever take on supervillains in a landscape where we just have superhero movie after superhero movie. And Carell is a great pick for a character that presents a completely different facade than who the character actually is, which is no easy feat to pull off in a voice-only role. These movies have been massively, massively successful. They've made over $3.5 billion worldwide. A lot of that is due to the Yellow Guys, I get that, who are going to be getting another solo movie in 2020. But Gru's character and Carell's work, I think, made Despicable Me respectable for adults that will have to take their kids to see these, but like Gru, secretly enjoy it while they're doing it.
This was an also-ran for me. Of the four, this is the one that sticks out. I could recite Despicable Me from beginning to end, pretty much. Like, you name a scene from it, I know it's from there. Two and three and even Minions all kind of blend together. They're not bad. They all kind of mix together to me, and they don't really step. But this one, you used to have these family movies that were made for kids.
Right.
And they were torturous to go to for adults.
Like The Boss Baby.
Yeah. And then Pixar came, and it's like, okay, we can make these really good movies. And then for a while, you had Pixar movies, and you had other animated movies.
Right.
Despicable Me is kind of...
It's not a Pixar movie.
It's the start,
but it's good.
It's the start of kind of blending those lines to where you don't have to be a Pixar movie to be a good animated movie, to be a good family movie, and you don't have to be a Pixar movie to handle adult stuff, which orphans, wanting a home, this evil dude finding a heart.
Nature versus nurture. Yeah.
It's
Pixar subject matter.
With Illumination animation. This, I think, was a good transition to where we are now, to where we are getting quality. It raised the bar and showed that we don't have to have this bar for Pixar movies and then, like, the nut job. We can have Pixar movies and we can still have quality kids movies that aren't Pixar movies. So maybe I'm putting too much on Despicable Me, but I feel like it has gone a long way to make the overall quality of these kids' movies
better. It's been one of the better examples. I mean, I don't know that it was the first. Like, I remember being in high school and thinking, like, Shrek's pretty solid. That was a kids' movie that had some adult jokes. I know the themes weren't quite as adult, but Despicable Me, I mean, they're still making those movies. They still make a ton of money, and it is because they're good, and you're right. I mean, I don't have kids, but I would imagine if I had to take a kid to see Despicable, like, I'd be fine with that. I think there are more of those now, and they don't all just come out of Disney or Disney Pixar.
Yeah. My number two is kind of the here's Steve Carell, the movie star movie. It is from 2005, written and directed by Judd Apatow, co-written by Steve Carell. It is The 40-Year-Old Virgin. This was here's Steve Carell, not just in a supporting role. Here's Steve Carell as a movie star headlining a movie. In the type of role that you can picture him in. And this was early Apatow, Seth Rogen, Paul Rudd, before they're massive movie stars. This is kind of them in, you know, I mean, Rudd had been around for a while here at this point, but this kind of ushered in a new era of Hollywood comedies. It gave us the R-rated. I mean, there were R-rated comedies before, but this kind of legitimized them?
Legitimized them, or I almost think like this was the rise of the Apatow movie.
Yeah.
Which was
and
a thing.
And that dominated about 10, 15 years in Hollywood. I mean, not 15.
It's a little bit like Carell's career. It seems like it's a long time, but it's not. But yeah. There was a lot of good stuff when it was around.
Yeah, but I mean, just out of this...
R.I.P. Steve Carell, apparently.
Yeah, but I mean, here's this movie that's a ridiculous premise. It's a 40-year-old guy who's a virgin. That's it. That's your plot. But you have these characters. You have Elizabeth Banks and Paul Rudd and Seth Rogen, Romani Malco, Catherine Keener. They're really good characters, played by really good actors who are really, really likable. So you have all these really enjoyable performances, and it's not just a joke delivery machine. It tells a story with characters you care about, and it's a lot of fun along the way. And that ushered in just from that. Like, you got Seth Rogen becomes a movie star, a leading man. Judd Apatow dominates. Judd Apatow produces and starts this whole new tree of Hollywood comedy that just branches off for the next 5 or 6 years after this. And kicks off Steve Carell's movie star career. It's a really good movie. And it's not one of those where it's like, oh, that 40-year-old virgin, it's just a funny movie. It's a good movie. I don't think it tries too hard for the jokes. With that title and the premise, like, it'd be very, very easy to just go for the low-hanging fruit. But just some of the funniest stuff is just so subtle. Just them guys working in electronics stores just out back just breaking light bulbs. Stuff like that. Just having a regular conversation, breaking light bulbs. Like, it felt real. It didn't feel like you were going to watch this ridiculous American Pie type like sex comedy. It felt like, hey, these are real people that I've worked with. I know they feel like real people.
And for reality, if we weren't that kid in high school, like, you knew that kid in high school that wasn't getting laid. So when there are these teen sex comedies like American Pie, we're all going to have sex at prom or blockers from this year, just from the female side. Like, okay, I can buy into that as a realistic premise for a movie. Most people, I don't fall into that category, but most people do not know someone at 40 or approaching 40 who has never had sex before. So that could be a more ridiculous premise than the high school sex comedies, and the jokes could have been more ridiculous. But no, I mean, it did feel like a relatable character. You understood why maybe Steve Carell's character had not been laid. It's not because he's like a Quasimodo or a weirdo or anything. Like, you know, he's just a type of person that you could see in the world, and they were having real world interactions. So many times I think that characters that are nerdy, I guess you would say, don't get treated with a great deal of respect. I do not watch Big Bang Theory, but I feel like that's what that show is. It's low-hanging fruit. Hey, these guys are probably borderline autistic. Let's just make them the punchline. No, that's not what they did in 40-Year-Old Virgin. This guy was...
likeable guy.
Yes.
He's the kind of guy you want to hang out with. And then you realize he's a virgin. It's like, oh, let's fix that.
It, but
like,
yeah, exactly.
Let's fix that.
Like, yeah.
It's the natural thing to where all the characters were people that you could see yourself hanging out with.
Steve Carell's not a likable dude in my number one.
Mine either.
Yeah, fair enough.
Finally crossover.
Yeah, perhaps. And only artificially engineered. Otherwise, I guess we would have had it sooner. But it's from 2013, directed by Nat Faxon and Jim Rash, starring a guy we like an awful lot, probably more than Steve Carell. Sam Rockwell, Toni Collette shows up again with Allison Janney and Liam James in The Way, Way Back. 2013 was an excellent year for summer vacation coming-of-age stories. Way, Way Back and Kings of Summer, I think, were both outstanding movies. And I hate
was Spectacular Now that year also?
It might have been, or it might have been 2014. I don't remember off the top of my head, but I always...
Spectacular Now was 2013.
Okay, all right. Then, yeah, I love all of those movies. We've done a Spectacular Now episode. Haven't done a standalone for either of these movies, although I feel like we're just one Liam James movie away from that happening. And Dave's going to check to see when that's going to be. But The Way, Way Back is way, way off from what we usually see from Carell. Trent's a douche. He's an awful guy and does not have a heart of gold like Gru. And growing up, I loved Meatballs. And while this isn't a summer camp movie, I think it's Meatballs for millennials. nowadays we don't go to sleepaway camps, and many kids of this generation, I think, can sympathize with a step douche. Rockwell is so fucking charming in this movie. I think he actually manages to supplant Bill Murray's Tripper as the grown-up friend that you'd want to have teaching you how to be cool. Liam James does really well as the socially awkward kid who doesn't really fit in anywhere, seemingly not even within his own family, because of how big of a douche his stepdad Trent is. But his performance really does fit in well with this charming, if not overly, performance from Rockwell. Maya Rudolph is really good in her relatively small part. Allison Janney. This is one of those movies that I just think it comes and goes. It sits on the shelf at the movie store for 9 months and then gets moved into the deep catalog and nobody ever sees it. Maybe you catch it on a movie channel somewhere. But I think it's really, really great.
It is. It's also my number one, organically. It was my number three, but I felt like it's kind of cliche to put 40-Year-Old Virgin number one, so I just flip-flopped them instead of moving everything up. And I'm glad I did, because now we just
co-number ones.
I love this movie, and it's the one of my top. It's the least Steve Carell movie on here. But I don't mind, because it's a great Steve Carell performance. One of my favorite things in Knocked Up is when she's pregnant and trying to interview. She does something and Steve Carell comes off like an asshole. And they're like, you made the most likable guy in Hollywood look like an asshole. And like, that's what he does here. He is one of the most likable guys. And he pulls off being such a creep. And he is, where it's like, yeah, I'd love to have Steve Carell as my stepdad. And then you see him in this movie, it's like, no. He's so good at being that. And this movie is just so good, because it is this coming of age story on different levels, because it's not just Liam James trying to figure out his place. It's
Tony
Sam Rockwell,
too.
Huh?
And it's Tony. It's everybody. It's Sam Rockwell trying to. Liam James wants this life. He thinks he wants it. And then Rockwell's like,
yeah, no, you don't.
Yeah.
Toni Collette trying to figure out some stuff.
Stand up for herself. And,
yeah. It's so good. And I mean, Faxon and Rash won an Oscar a year or two before this for The Descendants, which was really well written. I love both of those guys. I think they're fantastically funny as actors, but then as writers, when they write together, it's just beautiful. And then they directed this, which was really, really good. And it is one of those movies that seems like it came and went. Maybe because Kings of Summer was the darling that year. Kings of Summer was the one that this summer comedy that got all this buzz.
I don't think anybody watched that either.
But I think it got the buzz.
Maybe. Yeah.
I think it was one of those where people are like, I got to see Kings of Summer. Maybe they didn't.
They never did.
Yeah. Or maybe just around here, because I think it was filmed in Cleveland. But I really liked The Way Back. What kind of, are there any also-rans that we haven't mentioned?
The only also-rans that we haven't mentioned, and I guess it's kind of a big one, Anchorman. It is not a Steve Carell movie. It is a Will Ferrell movie through and through. But I do like the news team.
Rick Tamlin.
Yeah. I mean, Brick is, I think all those guys, Koechner, Paul Rudd, they're both really good. But Anchorman's a Will Ferrell movie, but they do make good use of the posse. And even going forward in Anchorman 2, like, they did a good job of incorporating those guys.
I mean, most of mine got mentioned. Like, I had Battle of the Sexes, which was my number five, Despicable Me, Seeking a Friend, Little Miss Sunshine. Over the Hedge wasn't mentioned.
Yeah.
That was one of his earlier animated ones. That was a really fun animated movie. And then Date Night with him and Tina Fey. It's a really funny movie. It feels like that kind of comedy kind of went away for a little bit. Now it's kind of coming back. Date Night, I feel like you could have released it this year and it fits in perfect with the comedies that came out.
Yeah, it would have fit in, like, right with Game Night, except Date Night, the problem I have for it, maybe it's just problems I have with Tina Fey movies. I feel like that and that Sisters with her and Amy Poehler, I was like, man, I like both these people. I like them together. This is going to be fantastic. And it's just like, good?
Yeah, like, what was the one with Tina Fey and Paul Rudd where it's like, oh my god, these two most likable people in the world, and then it's like, Acceptance?
Where she's the acceptance officer? Yeah,
yeah. Acceptance or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Date Night, I thought her and Carell worked really well together. Mark Wahlberg is just great in his role. Mila Kunis and James Franco. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It is very similar to this year's Game Night, which was a lot better than expected. But if we haven't mentioned this week, it's our favorite Steve Carell episodes, because Welcome to Marwin is coming out. Next week, Christmas, isn't it? Next week is the Christmas.
Yeah.
So next week for Christmas, we're giving out a whole bunch of uppies.
Let you unwrap the uppies.
So next week it's the uppies. New Year's week, we're going to do Solo because we generally do a Star Wars movie. We didn't get one this year.
Well, we did. We just didn't get it in December.
Yeah, we didn't get one this Christmas. So,
yes, we did not get Star Wars.
And then
Christmas.
We always put off our favorites of the year into that like second week of the year to give us more time to get caught up. So
it buys us about an extra month to watch stuff. So
that's our Steve Carell episode. Next week it's the uppies. That's one of my favorite episodes we do each year. And then we kick off 2019.
Yeah.
So until then,
keep it uppies.